You're listening to the Matt Clark Report. Matt Clark Report. Conservative talk for real patriots, because freedom is on the ballot. Here's your host, Matt Clark.
Good afternoon, patriots. Welcome to another episode of Matt Clark Report. We're broadcasting live from New York. A lot's going on in the world today. Elon Musk officially owns Twitter. A huge move in the right direction for America. Today, I'm bringing on a special guest to discuss a little bit about what this means for America and things that the Republican National Party and other patriots such as himself are doing to fight to try to restore freedom of speech here in the United States of America. A man who is actually doing everything that he can himself to build an infrastructure from the ground up to participate in helping America restore free speech, to go up against the likes of Google, to go up against the tyrants at Facebook, any social media platform that actually works to ban us, to silence us conservatives. He's actually making a big move. I'm going to bring him in now. His name is Jeff, and he is the CEO of Tusk. And Jeff, thanks so much for joining me today. I think it's so fitting that I'm having you on the show today with what you're doing out there around the same time the news just broke that Elon Musk now officially owns Twitter. So can we just talk about that for a second? You're a diehard patriot. You must be over the moon about this.
I am. And let me say this, Musk spending $44 billion is huge. And his purpose, which is to open the town square, not censor people, is just a giant step in the right direction. And guys like me, we just love people. In fact, I always say what I'm doing is Musk-like because it's freedom of speech, and he's a champion of freedom of speech. I give him a lot of credit because, you know, he was very liberal for a long time. And when he realized that everybody was being censored and that the town square was being censored by one group, he decided to step in. And who's got $44 billion, mm-hmm. so to speak, lying around or can go to a bank and do that? Not many people. So for whatever his purpose is, whether he can rebuild this into something that financially makes sense, or he just said, hey, of my $240 billion, I don't mind spending $20 to $40 billion making America right again.
And you just nailed it on the head. That's what he did with his $44 billion. And I mean, you must have seen all the criticism that Elon got from the far left. Oh, Elon could be solving world hunger. He could be curing cancer. He could be doing this. I'm disgusted over the fact that he's spending such a large amount of money just to buy a platform. But it was so much more than that. And I think that's what the left is not understanding here. He spent $44 billion to restore our First Amendment rights here in America. And he's not even American. I mean, he's got dual citizenship, but that's amazing.
Yeah, no, it's a tremendous thing for us, for particularly people who are for free speech and are conservatives to, because we know what's going on. At least I know. I've been in the tech industry for 10 or 12 years, and I realized the censorship. I didn't really think about the censorship until last year. I started realizing that we're all being censored, and that I have a friend, he actually drove me into even being more hardcore about this, because he was so liberal and everything, they flamed everything, they gaslighted everything that you could say, and everybody was bad. And, you know, we stole the election, but here's Hillary out there saying, oh, the election's already stolen, you know, yep. for 22. I mean, just the hypocrisy of the left is just incredible, if nothing else.
Well, and you bring up I know exactly what video you're talking about. A few days ago, it surfaced. We posted it on Patriot One News. I mean, it's had over 70,000 views, 15,000 comments, a pure disgust coming from Hillary Clinton. Yeah. And she has the audacity to start playing the election fraud card after she's done nothing but slam Donald Trump and conservatives for what they're calling election deniers. And we both know what the deal is. We're just challenging what we believe is a very broken electoral system. Liz Cheney is launching ads, $500,000 ads against members of the Arizona GOP. Carrie Lake, who you must follow. She talks a lot about election integrity, but Liz Cheney going against her own party. They are doing everything they can to silence anybody who questions the narrative.
Yeah, Liz should switch over and become a Democrat. She should go the way of Crist in Florida, and then because she's truly not a Republican. She's lost her way. We can have differences of opinions, but when she had a committee and she shouldn't treat Trump fairly and never has.
Right.
I have a big issue with that. I think there needs to be both sides are heard. I think there needs to be some equality there, and she's lost her way. I don't know what her hatred is about Trump or people that, I mean, look, the president, whether you liked his sort of his potty mouth or not, President Trump brought us a lot of good things. And I mean, inflation, what, 0.2 or something, mm-hmm. and a great economy, a secure border. And I think it's going to show up at the polls. We have an out of control Democratic Party.
Yeah, we absolutely do. And I think, but here's the good thing about them going that far left. They went so far, Jeff, that they freaked their own voters out. And I think that's going to work very well in our favor. I just want to let everybody know, the viewers watching the show right now, who you are. First of all, Jeff, you're from California, right?
I am, but I'm originally from your listeners. I'm originally from Rye, New York. And we know Rochester. My father used to be a real estate developer, and he built a shopping center up there. So we know the territory. We love Rochester. A little cold for me in the winter now, but
right.
But it's a beautiful place.
Good. Well, I'm glad that you have fond memories of the area that I grew up in. So for those of you who are watching, Jeff Bermont, he is the CEO and founder of Tusk. Tusk is and Jeff, I'll let you explain a little bit more about this. Tusk is a freedom first web browser with uncensored news. Correct me if I'm wrong. You're going after the likes of Google.
I am. And what's a funny thing about it is I built a very successful real estate company, and they happen to be a tenant of mine, which makes it even more sort of interesting that Google's a tenant, yet I am out to compete with them. I think the conservatives, which is the big fundraiser that we have to do, is to build our own search engine. Because what I found is what we built was the browser. And so what the browser does is it takes you to a site. We give you a news feed that's conservative. You can go in and change it if you want, because I'm a free speech guy. And then we give you easy to use links so that you don't have to fumble around on your browser to get conservative news. It's given to you so that you can see exactly what's going on from the conservative point of view. The big thing, though, which is the thing I realized in the last 6 months is, and I'm hoping to do this before the next election and with public support, I think we can, which is to build our own search engine. Because every search engine, whether you're going from DuckDuckGo to Brave to Google, they're all, even one of our competitors, they're all built off of MSN or Yahoo or Google. And so they tend to give you very liberal results.
Absolutely.
So there is no conservative search engine. And if I was to go to Elon Musk and say, would you like to make another $5 billion, which he probably wouldn't, because it's not enough money for them. There's a big market for a search engine that's fair, balanced, sort of a Fox News, but that you can take your position and see what is on the search. So if I'm a conservative, I might want to see 80 or 90 or 100% of a search on January 6th. Well, I challenge you today, go in there and try, you know, typing in January 6th in your favorite browser or your search engine, and you're going to get liberal spin. You're not going to see anything. So my goal is to make a dent in this. I've done really well in my career. So this is my own money that I spent. I now need help from the public because we're chasing a $10 million project. But it's for freedom. I mean, and I disagree with the government saying, well, we're going to come in and do something. I don't want the government in the middle of our businesses. Mm-hmm. I want us and others to grow our own ecologies, and we'll go beat up on Google.
And I want to talk about that just for a second. You talk about the government here. I believe you're talking about the Republican National Committee. Are they going after Google for political discrimination? Is this what you're referring to as the government getting involved here?
Yeah, I think so. I was a little surprised. Last night, I was actually watching Fox and News, and Ted Cruz was on. And Ted mentioned that, you know, they were going to have hearings about the censorship going on. And, you know, it cuts both ways. If you say there's no censorship, but believe me, they'll find a way around that. First mm-hmm. of all, these people who run these companies are super smart. They're tech guys. They'll find ways around it. I just think it's better for the public to decide what they want to see. And then hopefully, you know, you could go compete with them, which is the right way of doing it in America, which is when you think something is, you know, sometimes government's good. So there may be some things they can put in place, but I'm sort of a keep government out of our own private sectors.
I mean, I agree with you. I think that if they start telling, first of all, you can't tell private companies what to do. That completely yeah. goes up against all of our conservative values. We were talking about this earlier before the show.
Yeah.
And, you know, you can't on one hand say we stand for free speech. It's a private business. Their rules play or don't play, but it should be up to them. And then on the other hand, going guns blazing and say, oh, by the way, you're not letting him talk, but you're letting him talk, and we're going to come after you for that. So yeah. it's contradictive in itself, isn't it?
Yeah, so, I think it is. I think government being in the middle of your rights, things should be built. I mean, Gitter was built. There are a lot. Pollard was built, although we'll see what happens to Pollard. So there's a lot of these already free speech out there. And I just think, well, if they don't want to play ball, then we build our own.
And that's exactly what you're doing. For those of you who are just joining us, this is Jeff. Am I pronouncing that? Bermont?
Yeah, Bermont is Bermont. Fine. Yes.
Jeff of Bermont. Course, yeah. He is the CEO of Tusk. It's a free speech web browser. And what I love about this, and I'm very frustrated over this situation, as a political commentator who is constantly scouring the internet for an alternative perspective, for a conservative perspective, it's impossible to find. I have to spend probably 3 to 5 times more time getting to the bottom of what's really going on than my liberal friends, because Google's just yeah. going to tell them what they want to hear in the first page of Google. But when you're yeah. really trying to get down to the bottom of what really happened, George Floyd, Roe versus Wade, January 6th, you got to get to like page 30 on Google before maybe you start to see a conservative viewpoint. So from what I understand, your web browser is going to allow people to basically tailor make their own experience. So when they go online, they're able to get to the information that they want to hear quicker. Am I explaining this right?
Yeah, that's the ultimate goal. Now, we don't have that yet. That's okay. That's what we're, you know, we're focused on doing. It'll take hopefully we can get this done before the next election, because the last thing we need is, even if the government gets in power, last thing we need is another Biden type story, Biden laptops operate that mm-hmm. gets hidden. And most Americans don't know that. And, you know, a guy like Biden wins the presidency. He might not have won had that story come out. So I'm a free speech guy. I think that we have to build the search engine. There is no other choice. Everybody else, all the search engines today, even the DuckDuckGo and Brave, they're all based on MSN or Yahoo mm-hmm. or Google. And so, I mean, you can do the test yourself. You'll find out when you do a test and you put January 6th in any one of those search engines and slash browsers, you're going to get liberal spin.
Yeah, and we do every single time. I mean, again, like I said, it just takes forever to get to the bottom of anything here. So you're in the middle of building this platform. What did you think about Truth Social when Trump announced? Because here we're talking about building a parallel universe, an alternative ecosystem. What did you think about Trump building True Social versus trying to do what Elon Musk did, which was just buy a platform that Democrats and liberals are already hanging out on. Do you think Truth Social is going to be effective in the long run to really get Trump's message out to a group of people who need to actually hear it?
Well, you know, I think the game has changed, so to speak, with Elon Musk, who really, you know, Trump's site, Truth Social, actually competes with. And there'll be some hardcore people that will stay on Truth Social, but just opening up the public square. And let me say this, hats off to Musk for taking out his checkbook and just writing a check. Not many people can do this. And writing a check to buying, you know, Twitter. That's just an amazing thing. So it depends on how you're building it. I'm a little critical of Truth Social, the way it was built, and all the flaws that were made. We would not let anything like that come out of our shop. That wasn't in it. It just didn't work out to start. I don't know how it's going to do. I go on only occasionally onto it. I tend to spend most of my time. I'm not a big social person. You won't find me all over Twitter. I'm too busy, and really, I don't need to be a target for everybody. My job is to help freedom, and I can stay in the background and do that just fine, or come on your show and talk to you, and talk about how we need to have free speech and how it's basically, without it, it's ruining our country.
Do you think Donald Trump will actually, if Elon Musk allows Donald Trump to go back on the Truth Social, do you think Trump would do it? Do you think he'll go over, despite him saying, I'm not going over and all that?
Yeah, no, I doubt it. I mean,
you don't think?
It's kind of his brand that he's built. I mean, it would be like saying to Donald, when you go out of town, are you going to stay at somebody else's hotel or your own hotel?
Right.
He's probably going to say, well, I'm staying at my hotel, even though he doesn't technically own these hotels. He's, you know, they manage them. But still, I wouldn't blame him for doing that. It would be a shame. But I think, you know, just the change of a whole attitude, and just, you know, I was thrilled to see the three guys that ran Twitter fired. Yep. I mean, that was music to my ears, because
immediately
these people are unethical, right? And devious, and they have no business running something, a social platform like that.
The CEO, trying to not butcher his name here, but what was it? Pingal Agarwal or something.
Yeah.
The first day he took over as CEO, I did a show on it. The first day he took over after Jack Dorsey stepped down and handed him the keys, he said, we are a private company. We do not have to abide by free speech. He came right out and said it. And here I'm thinking, how blatantly obvious does it need to be to America that big tech is deliberately and intentionally sabotaging our First Amendment right? I mean, he just straight up came out and said it. He didn't care to hide it. He just straight up said, listen, I'm not even going to go down this conversation with you guys. We're a private company. We can do whatever we want.
And in a way, you know, unless you decide it's a public utility, he's 100% right. The answer is either a guy like, you know, like Musk comes in and buys the company, and or, you know, you build it yourself. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, in my mind, I don't know if there's enough money to go in, and maybe I could go over to Elon and say, let's go buy Yahoo or one of these others and turn it into a really a fair search engine. But if you're not going to do that, then, you know, let's write a check and let's build it ourselves and make it as good as we possibly can and go compete. Look, there's 100 million moderate to conservatives in America alone. And there's hundreds of millions of people around the world that cherish their freedoms just as we do. And the censorship is not just here, it's everywhere. And part of the problem, just so we can get to core of the problem, part of the problem starts in the schools.
Mm-hmm.
And
absolutely,
we all woke up at COVID realizing, I was shocked at COVID, what I was learning about what they were teaching in school. And I had three kids go through school. Maybe it wasn't as bad when they went through, but it's a horrible situation. And you just see it at the schools where they're shouting out people so that at colleges so they can't speak, all types of craziness that they're doing there. We've got to get our schools back together where they're teaching reading, writing, and math and not off on, you know, sexual, whatever they're doing over there, teaching that and teaching that you can ban people and you can censor people. And that's okay. It's not okay.
Well, you know, what's interesting is they only want to ban people, again, when you don't agree with them. But when we Republicans or conservatives want these disgusting books out of the children's library, we now hear from the Democrats, how dare you ban books? What is this, communist China? You're trying to ban these books from being displayed in libraries? What happened to, you know, free speech? It's like, well, wait a second. What you're teaching our children, we have an issue with. And when we come to you to try to put a stop to it, and we want these books removed, again, it's anything that we as conservatives want, they're okay with blocking, with banning, but then we want to do it to them, and suddenly they have a big problem with us trying to put a stop to information being taught in schools.
But yeah, I think that, well, they've lost, you know, Matt, they've lost age appropriateness. Mm-hmm. You know, first of all, you know, I believe probably sexual discussions should happen at home. Birds and the bees should happen at home. If it doesn't happen at home, okay, well, that's been going on for years. But to put books in school that are not appropriate, and you know, this is part of the left's plan, which is everything is okay. And as long as it's the way they think everything is okay, and the way you think or I think is not okay, and we'll censor you. And that's what I'm fighting. And I took $1 million of my own money. I was successful in another business. And I put it into building this first free speech browser because I felt like we're losing it. And no one, even Brave and DuckDuckGo, are not giving you that. They're just, I hate to say it, but they're kind of working off of the MSN, and they're just interested in the money, and they don't mind the left, but they're not necessarily on our team. And I think, I'm a guy who says, if you want to set our search engine to see both sides, I'm totally fine with that. Mm-hmm. If you want to just the right, that's fine. And even if you're just the left, I may not agree with your policies left, and I may fight you tooth and nail so that, you know, we get the censorship out as much as we can. But I'm for freedom of speech.
You know, you said something that I've actually been a very big advocate of. I think we need to listen to both sides. As crazy as the far left can be at times, I think it's important to at least listen to them to understand where they're trying to take America and why it might not be a good idea. Because, and this is one of the issues I have with Truth Social, it could be an echo chamber at times. How many Democrats came over to Truth Social? How many liberals jumped on Truth Social? Not many, which is why I'm very happy that Elon Musk has actually bought Twitter so he can kind of even the playing field here. Because now Democrats are going to be forced to listen to Republican viewpoints. They're not going to leave. All this crying and complaining, oh, if Elon Musk buys Twitter, I'm out of here. You know how many left-wing political figures have left Twitter because Elon Musk bought it? Maybe a handful, if even.
So is this the same, Matt? Is this the same group that went to Canada after Trump was elected, and those people said, "Hey, I'm moving to Canada." Yeah. Is this the same? This
I'm
must be
here.
The same group.
I'm not staying in this country. Oh yeah, it's the same group. They're all still there. They're all still in the States, and they're all still on Twitter. But that's a good thing. I think this is a great thing because me preaching to the choir does nothing. Your web browser just pushing right-wing information is going to draw an echo chamber. So I like the fact that you're going to create something that says, hold on a second, we're going to allow you to gain two viewpoints, to gain two equal perspectives, so then we can make an informed and educated decision. I think that's the way America has to get back to, similar to what we grew up with.
Yeah, I mean, here's the thing that I think most Americans that are paying attention, Well, even Democrats, a lot of Democrats are now realizing that the oil issue, mm-hmm. that, you know, if you're just listening to the left, all of a sudden you wonder why you're not going to have enough money to, or you're just not going to have heating oil. It's going to be a shortage in the Northeast. Well, it's because of the policies. And if you weren't paying attention and you didn't see the other side, well, which is, hey, we all like the idea of green, but it's got to be over time. We all want to see a clean planet, but it's got to be over time. And you just can't take people. I have had these arguments before where people, the left says, well, we don't care if you cut them off. And I said, so you don't care if a guy can't go to work because it's gasoline costs $8, or he has to make a choice between driving to work or putting food on his table. I mean, this is, and a lot of the, I'll say a little more of the realistic Democrats are beginning to realize that's why there's a switch coming. There's a red wave, I think, coming. And that's the reason was they're realizing you just can't do what you're doing. So I think showing both sides of the story is a good thing. And people who are thinking about things really deeply are not just saying, I've got a guy in my office. He says, I'm a Democrat and I just vote Democrat. And I'll ask him, do you know who so-and-so is? He's no idea. Those people you can't help.
Right.
You just can't help those people.
Blue,
right?
They're voting blue, straight blue line. They don't even know who they're voting for anymore, which is why right. we got and into this disastrous mess in the first place.
Right, exactly. So now if we can change that and give both sides a chance, but most people logically figure out, wait, this doesn't work if we don't have enough oil. And you can't just blame this on Putin. You're sitting on, you know, 200 years of oil and natural gas. And what do? You cut it off. And then when the country's hurting, you play games with the country, you lie to the country. This is nonsense.
I think the government did a good job pulling one over us regarding COVID. I think finally the American people are starting to wake up. They tried it with Ukraine, and we don't need to get into a political conversation about Ukraine, Russia, and your viewpoints on that because we're kind of getting sidetracked a little bit. But the point I'm trying to make is that I don't think the American people bought into the Ukraine story as much as the government wanted to push. And I think finally Americans did say, wait a second, we do need to do a little bit of our own research here. Why do you think conservatives, and I feel this way, and I'm going to ask you, why do you think conservatives do more research than Democrats? Like when you talk to your Democrat friends, you can tell they don't know both sides of the story. But when you talk to your conservative friends, at least I have a good idea as to them knowing both sides. You know, I feel like they know both sides.
Yeah.
Do you sense that too when you talk to your group?
I absolutely do. Okay.
Why is this? Why do you think this is?
I think it's from being taught in school that you don't have to listen to the other side.
Okay.
You can just shut them out. Look what's going on in the college campus.
Yep.
They're literally, and here's the thing that we need to worry about. This is like a factory that's out there with these kids. And so this is not going to stop anytime soon until we go in and change schools and change it where we're back to what we used to, which is we can argue all we want. We just need to hear both sides of the story versus we're just going to censor you. And this is a crowd. A lot of these, you know, people have grown up entitled or they feel entitled and they feel like I don't have to. And I have a friend of mine who's like this. He's a very good businessman, but he doesn't feel like he has to listen to anybody else. And he just it's like a rant. I finally had to say, as much as I love you and as a business guy, I can't talk to you, not because I don't want to hear your opinion, is because you rant about everything. And then if I say something back, you just cancel it.
Exactly. They jump down your throat. There's no constructive conversation. There's no two-sided conversation. Again, which is what we lost. I think my generation is probably the last one. We were just on the edge. I think my generation of, you know, getting caught in between indoctrination and actually learning how to think for yourself. I mean, in school, we're taught critical thinking is everything, but you get to college and all of a sudden the tune changes, or they're very good at being crafty with it. They lead you to believe you're thinking on your own, but these kids are not. They're being led. Right. They're being guided. What do you call it in court when you're kind of leading the witness, right?
Yeah.
Well, this is what 18 years of indoctrination camps have done to these kids. So even when they do come out of high school and they get into college and they come across your browser, it's almost going to be like their minds are already made up. So how do you undo all that damage? Do you think your browser, again, we're talking to Jeff Berman here, guys, for those of you who are joining us, he's the CEO of Tusk, which is a web browser that's being developed right now, a freedom of speech web browser, where you're going to be able to actually tailor make the user experience around what you want to see, rather than being held hostage to what Google wants you to see. So these kids come out of college or out of high school, they land on your browser. Is it going to help them to say, whoa, forget what you learned, here's what's really going on?
You know, I would say in their early years of getting out of college, no. Mm-hmm. I would say as they get older, maybe, because when real life hits you. So the left lives in kind of this paradise of the government's going to take care of you. When you start earning a living, and I've got kids in their 30s now, all of a sudden they're realizing, well, this isn't free. All the things I used to get for free, I now have to pay for someone else.
Right.
And maybe that's not such a good thing. So that sometimes changes. But I contend we really, I mean, Glenn Youngkin had it totally right in Virginia. We got to go in and change the school system. And he's another guy.
That's how he won.
If I was going to pick another guy who might be run for president in 24 or 28, it might be him. Because he's a businessman, he's sensical, it makes good sense, and he knows where the problem is. The core issue for the next generations is a lot of it is in the schools. And that's got to get changed.
And I mean, that's how he won. That's how Glenn Youngkin won. And Governor DeSantis has already been doing it. He's been fighting for the kids since he became governor. So it's not to sideline him or think that he hasn't done anything, because he absolutely has. But Glenn Youngkin came in, I think, off the back and the movement of what DeSantis did and said, hey, it's working for DeSantis down in Florida. I would love to see Virginia follow the same footsteps. Yep. And I think the parents at that time were ready for that. And that's what he ran on, and he destroyed it. He smashed it.
You know, our goal is to get Tusk search into schools, Tusk browser into schools. And so as these schools change, and not for profit, but for the idea that you want to teach children, and this is what you and I learned, both sides of the argument. And then you, with critical thinking, can decide. And believe me, if you do that, as they get older, they start realizing, well, maybe all this nonsense that the left is throwing out, particularly the censorship, and that starts to go away. Now, I still have kids that are in my 30s that, you know, they're to the left. And I don't know if there's anything changing, but I didn't realize in school what was going on and what they were being taught. And they weren't being taught like you and I were taught, which is look at both sides of the coin and then make some logical decisions.
Right.
Want your government in there telling you what to do. I mean, I just bought a Tesla, and the first thing that came to my mind is, does Tesla, as much as it's owned by Elon Trust, does the government have a way to shut off my motor? I couldn't think of one. I don't think they can, but could they someday pass a law that allows them to do that? And you can't do it in a gasoline car, that we know.
Right.
But what
about hackers?
Right, or hackers, yeah.
Hackers could. I mean, look what just happened in the New York Post yesterday. I don't know if you saw that story. This kid went rogue, an employee, and just sent out these disgusting and very vile headlines. We see hackers hacking the banks all the time. We're attacked every day. We just aren't being told about it. So, yeah, at what point do hackers get a hold of the operating system inside a Tesla car, hijack your car, and you're screwed?
Yeah. Yeah, well, all I can tell you is...
I mean, I hate to paint that picture for you. No, yeah, you just bought one.
I'm already... Don't even want to get in my car this morning.
Yeah, after I just scared the living hell out of you.
Yeah. So thanks a lot, Matt. I really appreciate that part.
Yeah. Well, listen, Jeff, I mean, best of luck to you.
Thank you.
I really am rooting for you. you're doing what I've been screaming to people about. I've been begging the likes of yourselves. When are we going to build a parallel ecosystem from the ground up to wipe out Amazon, to wipe out Apple, to give people another operating platform? Because True Social, Trump, he can build the platform all he wants. But if he's on Amazon servers, they can just pull another Parler. Yeah. As and when, and they won't do it now. They'll do it when he's big. They'll do it when, just like Parler. Parler was just starting to bust through, really gaining momentum. Big tech all ganged up on Parler, put pressure on Amazon, put pressure on Apple, and they got rid of him.
Yeah, I think where there needs to be some laws in place are that you can't deny. I mean, this is one of the issues that we have to wrestle with deny service, because there's a monopoly. Now, Android,
I was just going to say, can we play the monopoly card here?
Well, we may have to, particularly with somebody like Apple, because with Android, you could build your own little universe. But with Apple phone, it's a walled off garden. And there is no, if they say, sorry, your app cannot go on here, your app can't go on. There's no way around that. Mm-hmm. It's an Apple phone. It's controlled. If the government was going to get involved anywhere, I would think that the government could put some rules in that says you can't discriminate, because that's what they're doing, discriminate against right-leaning apps. And that would protect, until somebody comes up with a plan to build its own platform where you can put your apps and a phone, that's one place I think the government has to come in and say, you can't just do that, because that's what they did to Parler. They decided they didn't like what Parler was saying, and they were just going to kick him off. Now, Apple correctly came back on and said, okay, you've cleaned up your rules somewhat. And that's the other issue I think going on, is where does Apple get the right to tell you what the rules are for your app? And that worries me a lot.
It was a blatant slap in the face to Trump, to kick him off, to kick Parler off, when they allow ISIS, Antifa. And this is what I will never understand. And this is where, and I spoke about it yesterday on my show, where's the Republican Party throughout this? I get the Democrats are applauding this, are welcoming this sort of disgusting, tyrannical behavior with open arms. But at what point do we actually start holding people accountable? Or is it just wishful thinking at this point? Is doing what Musk did, is doing what you did, our real only answer at this point?
It could very well be just the way the laws are set up in America, where you have the right to deny someone access. It may turn out to be. Now, let's hope they don't do that to, you know, I think it's hard for them to do that to somebody like us, because we're free speech. I mean, and I'm after free speech. I'm not after just, yes, you come onto our platform or our phone and you'll see right leaning.
Right.
But you can go in and change that easily. We give you an easy way to do that, because we really believe in free speech. And the browser as a search engine, as I talked about, will be your choice. And so you can see middle of the road if you want. That's what I would point it to. I'd like to see both sides when I do some research. So one thing your users can do, one would be, of course, download us and help us grow this. That would be awesome. So it's tuskbrowser.com. Both on mobile, Android, iOS, and also on your laptop, because I'm a big laptop fan, or desktop.
Wait, the so other we, thing you we can already do this. We can get this browser.
Oh, go to tuskbrowser.com for your desktop. And if you just type in Tusk Browser on your phone or in your app store, you can get it now. Okay. The other thing that you could do if people want, I don't believe in donations. I actually believe that if you put money in, I'm a crowdfunding type of guy.
Okay.
I want the public to participate in growing this company.
Is that how you plan on raising money? Crowdfunding?
Yeah.
Okay.
The first $5 million, we can go up to $5 million through crowdfunding. And I'm a big fan of crowdfunding. Yeah, it's a little bit of a pain for, you know, us to keep track of everybody, so on and so forth. But I love the idea of this being... You know, my kids used to say to me, God, Dad, I missed that opportunity. Why couldn't I get in Tesla at the ground floor? Now, I'm not telling people we're going to be the next Tesla. It's a risky business. However, if you want to see movement on this, then help us. You know, it's and our minimum is $100.
That's great.
So it's not like, oh my God, you know, I'm asking for that. And I like the idea of everybody getting a little piece of the action.
How do people contribute then to the crowdfunding? Where's that? Do you have a website?
So if you go onto our website, you'll see, I think you'll see investment in the corner, in the right hand corner. You click on that, put your email address in. We are probably just either a week or 2 weeks away. It won't be much more than that. That will actually start the crowdfunding. And we would just love for people to, as I said, I don't want donations. I want you to own something. I want you to own a little piece of us. And if we hit it big, you're going to hit it big too. And I'm going to work really hard for my investors.
Well, I'll tell you, Jeff, I'm a huge fan of the crowdfunding platform, kind of putting on my financial hat here. I used to be in financial services and I love that concept. And I think it's great because you're allowing patriots who are passionate about going after the left-wing tyrants. And we get to do this and own a little bit of a really fun and exciting and an American first project. So for those of you who missed it, Tusk, T-U-S-K, browser.com. If you want to contribute to Jeff's platform, sign up through the investments tab. Get your name on the email list. From what it sounds like, Jeff, we're pre-registering to get information when it does go live. And then a minimum investment of $100, and we're in. We could own a piece of the Tusk web browser as you all start to develop that and then launch it.
Exactly. And you feel like you can be part of the participation. I kind of object to, I mean, it's fine if we had some, you know, maybe accredited investors, but I just love the idea of a smaller investor who can only put in $100, $200, $1,000 having an opportunity. I can't tell you it will be a success for sure, but I can tell you there's a real need out there, and where there's a real need and we do a really good job, this should go over really well.
I mean, I love the concept. I really do. And I'll be sure to sign up for that. Really. Great. I will. I think it's phenomenal. We got to put our money where our mouths are, right? And you're doing it. You've put $1 million of your own money into this platform. That speaks volumes as to how passionate you are. So, you know, thank you for that. I really appreciate you doing that. You could have just decided to raise money from the ground up without putting a single penny in, but you are leading by example in more ways than one. And $1 million is, I mean, that's a great testament to your work ethic as far as this movement's concerned.
It's very important. This is the most, I would say, of all the things I've done, this is the most important thing I will ever do in my life, is to build this and make sure it's successful and get it out so that people can see the truth and they're not, censorship is not burying them, because I don't trust the government, nor do I ever trust Google or anybody else to change their ways. There's a political thing. The thing is, as I've said, you could make millions more dollars if you would focus more on conservatives, and their answer is politically no. Mm-hmm. So we have to build it ourselves.
And I think it's the right way to go. This isn't your first tech project, right? I see here you've done Cocoon VPN and Cocoon My Data Rewards. So you've been into tech. This isn't your first rodeo.
No, this is not my first rodeo. If you want to know, does a guy who's a conservative know what's going on behind the scenes? You found him. I know what goes on behind the scenes. So been in the business a long time. I've seen a lot of things, 10, 12 years now. And this is my passion, though, is to give back. And that's why the non-accredited investors are important, because you end up with a piece of the company and you don't have to cry later on, oh, I missed the opportunity, because we wanted to give you. I mean, I was from the start, let's do a crowdfund. We're talking to people in Washington who have lots of money, but I'm really for the idea of the smaller investor getting an opportunity.
Well, I think it's a great project. Jeff, thank you so much for coming on the show today. Guys, you can go to Tusk, T-U-S-K, just like the name is at the top of your screen there, TUSK browser.com. Learn all about it. learn about what Jeff's bringing to the table for the conservatives, for free speech, web browsers. And if you want to get involved, you can own a little piece of this by going to the investments tab. And for $100 minimum contribution, you can get in on the action. Thank you, Jeff, so much for joining
us today.
Matt. Really appreciate your time.
Love that. I love your area. Rochester is a great place. Go Rochester.
Good. Well, and equally, I mean, first of all, is it hard being a hardcore conservative in the state of California? Because, I mean, you have everything stacked against you. But I feel your pain because I'm in New York. Hopefully we're going to change that in a little bit by getting Lee Zeldin in. But I don't know. Yeah. Gavin Newsom, man, you guys blew up on that last recall.
That's not going to change in California.
I don't think so.
I do admire Lee Zeldin. I hope he wins. He seems like a great person.
Maybe we can set the precedents and help you guys for the next election.
Great. All right, thanks, Matt.
Thank you.
Appreciate it.
Thanks a lot. Thank you. Guys, you've been listening to Jeff Bermont from Tusk. He's building a web browser, freedom of speech. We are excited to see where it goes. Stay tuned. We'll be right back. We're going to get in a little bit about Liz Cheney and what she's doing to attack her own members of the party right after this message.
Are you worried about the effects that higher inflation rates will have on your investments? Are you trying to secure your retirement savings against losses, but you notice that inflation is a hot topic these days? But how dangerous are low inflation rates on your retirement savings? An inflation rate of 2% may not seem like much, but it means that prices will just about quintuple over the lifetime of the average American. And 4% average inflation rate means that something that costs $1 when they're born will cost $23 when they die. That demonstrates the danger of even low inflation rates. So when it comes to gold and inflation rates, many investors want to know whether inflation rates have an effect on gold prices. What history indicates is that over the long term, increased inflation should lead to correspondingly higher gold prices. From September 1971 to August 2020, gold grew 7.5 times as much as inflation. Not only can an investment in physical gold help protect your assets against the damage done by inflation, it can also help grow the value of your retirement portfolio over the long term. If you're looking to protect your retirement assets, why wait until stock markets crash and gold begins to rise in price?
Welcome back to the show, guys. You were listening to Jeff Bermont. If you missed the first segment, really great guy. It was exciting to listen to him talk about how he's planning on taking on the likes of Google and others and his pursuit to just shut down this ridiculous censorship that we face on a daily basis. You're watching the Matt Clark Report right here on Patriot One News. We're going to have to wrap up the show, but first I want to discuss a situation that is infuriating me. We all know what a turncoat traitor Liz Cheney is. She's a disaster for the Republican Party. She is obsessed. She has a sick, sick obsession with Donald Trump. She's on an all-out mission to just go after anybody who wants to question the integrity of the 2020 election. And she's not just limiting it to Donald Trump. She's now going after Arizona GOP candidates, Carrie Lake, calling her an election denier. Not only is she going after her, but she's spending $500,000. $500,000 on ads just to slam her. Liz Cheney has lost her damn mind. Liz Cheney is launching new ads targeting Arizona GOP candidates. Reported from The Hill, her leadership political action committee on Friday released a new ad in Arizona targeting what they call, and I hate this term, and I hate even saying it on this show because it's such a disgusting and ridiculous far-left radical term that Liz Cheney has now adopted, calling them election deniers. They're not election deniers. I'm not an election denier. I like to challenge the integrity of our election. I like to question whether we have ironclad measures in place to make sure nobody commits election fraud. There's no problem with that. Yet they keep calling them election deniers. Liz Cheney's calling them election deniers. She's launching ad campaigns against high-profile statewide offices, saying we cannot give people power who will not honor elections. Liz Cheney is a communist. Everything that comes out of her mouth reeks of communism. Who the hell is Liz Cheney to tell anybody that we should not give these people power who will not honor elections? We know Liz Cheney doesn't live under a damn rock. We know Liz Cheney is well aware of what happened during the 2020 presidential election. She refuses to take off the blinders. She said, I don't know that I have ever voted for a Democrat, but if I lived in Arizona, I absolutely would. Yeah, we know you would, Liz. She went on to say, you have a candidate for governor, Carrie Lake. You have a candidate for Secretary of State, Mark Finchem, both whom have said that they will only honor the results of an election if they agree with it. I don't think Carrie Lake ever said that. I never heard Carrie Lake say that, or Mark Finchem. I don't think Carrie Lake has ever said anything even remotely close to she's only going to honor the results if she agrees with them. No, I've listened to Carrie Lake probably hundreds of times while on the campaign trail. She's very diplomatic about it. She's very responsible with how she delivers her message. She's not slamming or calling it BS, even though there are a lot of parts that were BS. She's very careful to use in her language that she simply wants to make sure our elections are safe, legit, compliant, that they're not riddled with fraud. We know there was fraud. CNN admitted there was fraud. CNN changed their tune 4 times. At first, there's no fraud. Okay, now there's a little fraud. Oh, now there's fraud, but not enough to overturn the election. Now there's nationwide fraud. We saw the headlines change over and over and over again. So Carrie Lake has every right to want to use election integrity as a very big part of her campaign. And she has done that. But nowhere have I ever heard Carrie Lake say she's only going to honor the results of an election if she agrees with it. Show me a clip. Paste it in the comments. I challenge you to show me a clip of Carrie Lake actually saying that. You won't find it. Carrie Lake put, or Liz Cheney, $500,000 freaking dollars attacking Carrie Lake and Mike Finchem from her leadership political action committee. This is how the turncoat traitor of Wyoming wants to go out, burning down the entire ship with her political career. Cheney also said, and if you care about the survival of our republic, who will not honor elections, we must have elected officials who will honor that responsibility. No, Liz, what you're really saying is, if you want to preserve our republic, then you better vote for people who are going to agree with me. And anybody who doesn't agree with me, well, they're just destroying our republic. That's really what Liz Cheney is saying here, because she is a dictator. She is a communist. She may as well go to the Democrat Party and take it one step further and head all the way over to Chinese Communist Party, because that's exactly where she belongs. Her Leadership Political Action Committee, Great Task Pack, will be airing the ad on broadcast, online, and streaming platforms in the state as part of a more than $500,000 media buy. She's spending $500,000 to bring down her own Republican members, her own colleagues. This is how deranged and off her freaking rocker Liz Cheney is. Lake and Finchem have both openly questioned the 2020 election. Just questioned it. We got to get to the bottom of it. I don't understand what the big deal about that is. The Democrats, now including Liz Cheney, because let's be honest, she is a Democrat. I don't care what title she puts after her name. She is a raging Democrat. She's not even a rhino anymore. We've moved way past rhino. She's a raging psychopath Democrat. And she won't let this obsession go of going after any conservative Republican who wants to question and challenge the 2020 election. So she's spending $500,000 on going after these candidates. It's disgusting. I'm not surprised. I'm not surprised by it. But, you know, I think I speak for all of the conservatives when I say this. The day where we never have to see or hear of Liz Cheney again couldn't come any quicker. I mean, she's already out. She stands zero chance of becoming president. This put the final nail in the coffin. She is done. She is finished. So best of luck, Liz. Thank you guys for watching. We'll see you next week.